Hi, this is Alina and Megan, and you're listening to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and fitness.
We are two certified athletic trainers, personal trainers, and nutrition coaches who met and graduated together from the University of Arkansas. And we want to do this podcast to spread our joy about treating our bodies well through nutrition, exercise, and knowledge.
Today on Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, we are super excited to have Freddie Kimmel on our show. Freddie is the host of the Beautifully Broken podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts on Spotify and Apple. And he's a consultant to technology companies, including AmpCoil and LightPath LED, which is a red light. He is certified as a functional health coach, personal trainer, and gut health specialist. Freddie's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, LA Talk Radio, and Dance Magazine. He's a proud survivor of metastatic cancer, Lyme, and toxic mold. Using his podcast platform, he really works to educate and give value to the wellness technology space. So like he talks about PEMF, pulse light supplements, oxygen therapy, and just he gives people the idea that their body's natural healing mechanisms can help them heal. We really dove deep into that in this episode today. We talked about AmpCoil. Freddie also really talked about his own story, and it's very touching, and he's healed from a lot. So the episode is just filled with a ton of interesting information. Something I found really interesting about Freddie, especially me being from New York, is that Freddie actually performed across the country in Broadway, and he toured on Phantom of the Opera, Billy Elliot, and Broadway-bound Cagney the Musical. And a fun fact that he kind of wrote in here is that music heals and continues to be a driving force in the way that he helps others. So I'm going to leave you with that. And now we'll put the episode on so that you can enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all of you for listening to our podcast every week.
Okay. Today on Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, we have Freddie Kimmel. And we are so excited to have you on today. So can you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Great question. I'm trying to think who does this. It's a growth exercise and like entrepreneurial development workshops. They're like, what do you do? And they're like, you know, my name's Freddie Kimmel. I host the Beautifully Broken podcast, and I am a consultant for wellness companies like AmpCoil, which is pulse electromagnetic field, and then like LightPath LED. And then I speak all over the world. And then you got to ask it again. You're like, who are you? What do you do?
Okay.
I was like, you know, and so your second answer is like, well, I'm a cancer survivor. I'm somebody who's been through chronic illness, and my experience with that is something that informs how I show up in the world. And then you ask again, you keep going down like seven layers deep. And then, the next layer might be like, well, I'm someone who deeply cares about other human beings and how we integrate our unique stories as they unfold around each other, and how we still find space to honor what I need and honoring my neighbor. And then it's like another layer down. You're like, who are you? It's like, wow, I'm somebody who really wants to leave the world a better place than when I found it. So it's an awesome experiment to do in your spare time. Everybody should do that.
I love it. It's like the kind of coolest answer we've ever gotten, I feel like, for that question.
Yeah. Well, in each step you like get progressively more like just open with things, I feel like. And you know, you ask a lot of people that like probably the deepest seventh question, and they're like, oh
yeah,
I don't want to answer that, you know. So it's cool.
Oh, it gets really hard.
Yeah.
I bet.
Because you get more vulnerable about what's important to you. And we don't, you know, sometimes all the time, my new thing that I'm on right now is we overestimate what we can do in a day. And I feel like so many of us have designed life to just be this, you know, all these categories that we're checking, whether it's like to make enough money, to have enough achievement where I feel like I have value, to have a social media presence, to build a business, all the things. And nobody's slowing down to like really integrate. Like we're robbing ourselves of the joy of all the things we're achieving, right? Is the net that I've come up with.
Wow. It's deep. I like it. So my next question is, tell us a little bit about like your journey. And because I know you have a podcast, you've talked about it on the podcast. I've listened to your episodes. They're amazing. We're definitely going to link your podcast here, but tell us a little bit about what you've been through, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. I could easily like start like my wellness. I say my wellness, it's like a rebirth of wellness through going through medical adversity. And I could say that started in about 2001 when I woke up one morning with like full body rheumatoid arthritis. Every joint in my body hurt. I couldn't close my hands. My knees were swelled up like melons, but I was 22, 23. And so I just ate Advil and progressed to indomethacin and then Plaquenil and all these immune modifiers until one morning I woke up and I was very, had a lot of stomach pain and I dragged myself into the emergency room. I could barely stand and I was diagnosed with testicular cancer that had metastasized to all the lymph nodes in my abdomen. I had a tumor that was wrapped around my left kidney, around, it was slowing blood supply to my heart, around the vena cava going to my heart. So it was like a very, it was a very progressed form of cancer. And lucky for me, testicular cancer responds very, very well to chemotherapy. So I did all the chemo you could do, got it to a point where I did this surgery. It's a fun term I like to say. It's called a retroperitoneal lymph node dissection. And that's where they cut from your pelvis to your sternum. They take out all your digestive organs. They put them in a bag on your chest and they start to take out the cancer. So that process left me. I'm a cancer survivor. You know, I beat cancer in 2007. I was done with all my treatments. And, you know, I say this is the point where I imagined I would like get a book deal with Oprah and be a poster child for every guy going through testicular cancer awareness. And that's really where things started to get hairy. I started to have these extreme bouts of what are known as partial bowel obstructions, where I'd have post-surgical scar tissue twist and cut off anything moving through my small intestine, which is they rate the pain equal with extreme childbirth.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
They say it's like that. And I mean, this was happening once a month. I'd be on the floor for a couple days until it would release, or they'd rush me to the emergency room. They'd reopen that belly. They'd take out a foot of small bowel and they'd staple me back up. So this went on from 2007 to 2015. I had my last surgery.
Not that long ago.
What's that?
Not that long ago.
It's not that long ago.
It is, but it's not.
Yeah. But it was a long chunk. I give that scope because it was like 2001 to 2015. I'm on like the wheel of life or death. Yeah. In that, it's also a long chunk of time being, you know, living and it's relatively identifying as a sick person. Mm-hmm. And now I don't. Now I identify as very healthy and vibrant. And in that time, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease. That was probably the onset of that rheumatoid arthritis type symptomology, severe chronic fatigue, Epstein-Barr, you know, all the things that you would be labeled with, and as functional medicine digs for labels to slap on a patient when they're, you know, their metabolic function is terrible, when they have horrible gut dysfunction, when you can barely get through 2 or 3 hours being away from home because you're just so tired. And today, you know, again, I identify as very healthy because I started to just ask different questions about my health. And I opened the door to things like biological medicine and functional medicine and really outside of the box things like pulse electromagnetic field or red light therapy or hyperbaric chambers or stem cell injections, which me stepping away and choosing to look elsewhere, that's really, I just started to improve like, you know, gangbusters as far as like my health improving.
Yeah.
That's like the air quotes. That's a time that was hard for me, but also where I learned the most about my body.
Yeah. Because if you didn't have that time, you wouldn't be here doing what you're doing. So There's like probably a bit of gratefulness, but also like struggle, obviously, that you went through. So that's an interesting part of your life for sure.
The best part.
Yeah.
What were you like before all of that? Like, what would you say has been the biggest like shift as far as your life, your mindset, how you go about things? Like, were you like the way you are before and that's how you got through it? Or is it like something that you've just kind of changed into?
I think that I'm definitely I have the ability to self-entertain or to like find joy, just probably like part of my DNA. And that wasn't always like a great thing. I got like, that could lead me to get into trouble a lot and, you know, drink too much or get a DWI or, you know, whatever is, you know, the things you accumulate as a younger adult, or maybe you don't. But I was often like, you know, I was reprimanded. I was always talking in school. I was very social. I wanted like social butterfly. So it wasn't always a great outcome, but definitely wired for joy. And what would I say has changed? I just, you know, I had no awareness around like the body or a need to understand health or disease. You know, I didn't know any different other than just like, you know, being full of energy. And so going through cancer and all the surgeries and chronic illness had taught me what it was to exist in a very low vibration, very level of a constant chronic fatigue. And so that's on the other side. I just have such a deep appreciation for being functional, like being able to like poop, being able to eat food, being able to walk, you know, and then there's like bonus things like snowboarding or backflips on the trampoline. Like those are like, oh my God, I can still do that, all that stuff. I didn't say this in the middle of all this stuff, like all the illness. I was in New York City. I was a Broadway performer. I was like pursuing music theater and I was doing it. You know, I was doing, I had a very great career. I was in Phantom of the Opera, the Broadway tour. I was in Billy Elliot. I was in the national tour of Annie Get Your Gun. I was in a bunch of, you know, a bunch of shows. In between, I was having all these like, you know, health bouts and procedures and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I do love to sing and song and musicality and storytelling and that. I was always fighting to get back into something I really, really loved. So I had that North Star where I knew I was like, I was fighting for something. Do you know what I mean? Through that, through all that illness, I really, really loved what I did.
Yeah.
But it's, were you living in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really a stressful. The schedules are, I know a couple of dancers and the schedule is, are insane. So I can only imagine Broadway schedules. You don't have a minute to yourself.
I ended up more or less, it'd be interesting. I always imagine this. I more or less like retired for multiple reasons, but one, I was working so hard to be able to do 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
I was working, you know, I was pulling out all the biohacker tricks. You know, I was like, I was doing ozone therapy and like all these just, you know, all these crazy, like outside of the box modalities to upregulate mitochondrial function to be able to get through 8 shows a week after I had been through all the surgeries and stuff. So I got to a point where it was just felt like work. I was like, you know what? I just want to do something different. So yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. I think it's, I mean, I watch football and those guys get beat up, but I also know that like, imagine always like walking on stage every night for 2 years in a row and like every part of a choreography for 4 minutes, which is like crazy cardio. You're always going to like do a pirouette to the right side or like open a door with the right hand. And it's just like you're programming your body for repetitive movement to build imbalances. And so it's like a recipe for disaster as far as like, you know, people and Broadway dancers look good. And I would also argue that if you put them through like some type of a mobility program or you looked at imbalances, that it would be like extremely dysfunctional because usually when dancers retire, it's like they go through this period of like hyper aging the second they stop dancing and moving that way. They tend to lose a lot of mobility. So you're like, oh my God, did you know who Anne Ranking was? Mm-hmm. Anne Ranking was a very, very famous, one of the most famous Fosse dancers ever. Okay. Do you remember the movie Annie?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, we know Annie. She was Grace in Annie. So she's this unbelievable ballerina. She could still dance. And there was like, if you saw her walking down the street, you're like, oh, that woman's not doing great. You know, and I remember seeing like many times it'd be a very like prominent Broadway choreographers and they had been dancers and they were like, you'd watch them come down the street and they're like, you know, like a hip is clearly gone, like a bone on bone. There was my friend Tony. He was such a sweet guy. He passed away, but a very, very amazing dancer in his time. And then it was just really hard on his body. And also coming from like a 40, 50 years ago, you know, people were like, just push it harder. And
yeah,
there was no awareness around like the body and the body's mechanics.
Yeah. Actually, what I study, PRI, they do work with Broadway singers right now. And so I know Ron travels to New York and there's a whole program in New York for singers because when they're doing these performances, you know, they're standing more on one leg, maybe even just organizing their body more on one leg compared to the other. And they're using one side more. So it's just, it's really interesting. I know you could see definitely different changes when it comes to, I'm working with a performer right now and I could definitely see that she's a performer, but that she performs on one side of her body and she doesn't perform on both. So it's the same thing with dancers, the same thing with high level athletes. But then you're living in New York City, which makes it so much harder.
It's hard. I mean, schlepping around and not having, you know, you can imagine it's like one thing to hop in your, it's like, there's a degree of suburbia that's just easier on life.
Yes.
usually like when it's freezing cold, it's like you get in your car and then you go to Whole Foods. In New York, you're like, most people, you know, most people are traveling on a subway. You got backpacks, you're up and down icy stairs. I've taken my fair number of spills down a subway icy stairway. Oh,
bad.
Bad.
It's like after your 7-hour workday, you still have to go get groceries. You got to walk there. It's hard. Definitely, I can definitely understand.
Are you in New York?
No, I'm from New York. But right now, I was in Texas and now I'm in Arizona. So,
okay.
Very similar.
Megan, where did you say you're in Washington?
Yeah, I'm like 40 minutes south of Seattle.
Okay, so great.
Very different from New York. I've been there once to visit Alina and I cannot imagine living there.
It's
I don't
intense.
Want to. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, there's so many like opportunities. And there's so much diversity that you can literally find anything you want. But I just feel like you, in order to survive there, it's almost like you're like in the jungle and like fighting for survival, but everything is made out of concrete and, you know, there's cars everywhere and subways and all that. You know, I just feel like you never really get into like a sympathetic state, which just can't be healthy for, or yeah, sorry, parasympathetic. Yeah. You're constantly in a sympathetic state, I should say.
It's tough. And some of the, I've been called to really understand EMF sensitivity lately. And so looking at the natural polarity or transmembrane potential of a cell and how that's affected by a non-native electromagnetic field. And there is definitely an effect by the environment, right? And
yeah,
the quick way I like to explain it is like our world exists in an electromagnetic spectrum. It's all a frequency. There's, and as we walk through nature or the woods, we're exposed to different fields from a tree or a, everything's an oscillating pattern as it vibrates, but you'll have a dominant field, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a power line with a current running through it, so it will affect how your cells perform or breathe or don't breathe. So I think it's, I do, I think definitively, I think it's a very challenging environment to be healthy in. The more I understand the body and how we interact, how we're electrical beings, you know?
Yeah. Talk a little more about that because I know you do a lot of stuff with energy and mm-hmm. we've never really talked about that. We've talked about it on the podcast, but not as in depth, like just how energy works in the body. And then also I want to talk about amp coil as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the, you know, again, from my lived experience, and I say this, I've read on the topic of very uniquely pulsed electromagnetic fields, frequency therapy, frequency specific microcurrent, the book, The Resonance Effect, you know, people out there like Gerald Pollack, who speaks on high powered PEMF. And then there's other people like Bryant Myers, who does low power PEMF. A lot of times I like to first reference it, like your body is an energetic body. It's the energy is a top down regulation of like chemical reactions. So cells communicate through pulsed electromagnetic non-thermal fields. And if you were to measure the body with the right, you know, we can do a magnetic encephalograph. We can measure magnetic energy from a cell. So your body was actually have a visualized discharge. The body also emits a form of light as a form of like cellular activity. It's called gas discharge visualization. So you can actually see a field off the body. It's really wild. And it can align with different organ systems that are energetically deficient. It can align with vertebrae that are out of alignment, which makes a lot of sense. If you feel like, I want to go back to like the idea that like this world exists in an electromagnetic spectrum. Everything is a vibration.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm this solid hunk of Freddy and there's like, I just said I'm a hunk of Freddy, that there's like, there's a physical being and then I'm being treated with energy. It's all energy. So like the oscillating pattern of my fingernail is going to define how dense it is versus the oscillating pattern of a tooth or a liver. Here's another great example, bacon or liver. Like we've all touched these in the grocery store and we know they're very different tactile textures. That's a result of their frequency, you know, so everything has a frequency. So the idea that we could use a frequency to benefit the state of a being is that concept. Now, when I say PEMF or a PEMF machine, that's a technology that utilizes a pulsed electromagnetic field to bring about change in a body. That's really it. So when we apply these pulsed electromagnetic fields to a body or an electromagnetic field, we see beneficial change for the most part. We see cells breathe, they respirate more, it frees up nitric oxide in the cell. The cell has more raw materials to make more energy. We'll see a boost in circulation. I had said that a cell, like the smallest unit of, you know, in the human body is a cell, right? So we got a cell. That cell has a charge on the outside and the inside. there's a positive on the outside, a net positive, and there's a net negative on the inside. That gradient is called our transmembrane potential. And so as that membrane potential is optimized, that allows nutrients to flow in and out of ion channels, minerals in the cell, and the cell is doing what it's supposed to do. When we are dehydrated, when we don't eat good food, when we are depressed, when we're in the city, not grounded on the earth, that potential tends to drop. And so we'll trend towards illness, you know, as opposed to somebody who's drinking really clean spring water and eating nothing out of a wrapper and moving and lifting every day. The body, it's just a robust body. Hence, you get a physical representation of a body that looks stronger, but you also get a stronger performing immune system. So the implications of using this, it's almost like here's the other really cool fun fact, is that the earth emanates a pulsed electromagnetic field. It has a molten core and then iron as layers. And it's also oscillating. The earth is actually a magnet. It's generating magnetic fields. I think it's 0 to 100 hertz, and the average being 7.83 hertz, the Schumann resonance, which like keeps life balanced. Yeah. So when we can utilize this technology that the earth is already making and amplify it, it's like medicine. So if you are deficient, you can all of a sudden bring up cellular voltage in the body. And you know, one thing I've done is I've looked at this, what happens when you play, you know, a pulse electromagnetic field or an electromagnetic wave to the body, the nervous system comes into parasympathetic. You know, we look at inflammation reduce in the body. We look at circulation boost. You could pull a syringe of blood and look at it under a microscope. And often you can actually visualize the cell is more, there's more circulation going throughout the blood. It's really wild. There's like 40 years of good science existing on both PubMed and NIH, looking at pulse magnetics and the role of health. Yeah, it's wild. I said a lot.
So basically, long story short, you're just facilitating what the body should be doing naturally if we weren't jacking it up with all these other things.
Yeah, where we've fallen off. This is an example where we would use technology to come in and do some heavy lifting. I like the analogy of the plow. Like the plow was like a great technology at the time. It was like allowed us to have a greater yield of food supply as a result of using a wedge in the field to farm dirt and make more corn. This is very similar. We're just utilizing a field that already exists. And I think there's lots of nuance in that, right? Because my Wi-Fi router creates a field. You know, and it's got to be the right waveform and the power and the delivery. And that's where, you know, that's where it's unfortunate that in the field of health and wellness, there's like marketing, right? Yeah. So every PEMF device does not deliver the same results. And you have to be able to separate the marketing from like your lived experience. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go even one level deeper, is that nobody is the same. Nobody lives in a vacuum. Nobody shows up with the same mineral balance or the same hormonal profile or the same iron levels. So your response to PEMF and your response could be dramatically different.
Right.
Frustrating, but amazing.
It's really interesting. I know Megan has experience with the Beamer, which is, there are similarities, and I've experienced both. I love the amp coil. I think I like the Beamer a lot, but I didn't feel it immediately. And the amp coil, it put me to sleep, and that's very, very rare. Mm. And that never happens to me. And I've used the amp coil this summer. A practitioner I work with has one. And it's interesting because you literally just put it on your belly and there's some music and you just relax. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think it is interesting. For me, it was different. I guess I'll say different because it's hard for me to get into that state. Maybe much easier now than it was like 2 years ago, but definitely get into a very, very, I mean, so parasympathetic that I have to wait to like get into my car and drive. Cause that's, I'm like, great. Oh my God, I'm falling asleep.
Body needed it.
Yeah.
I can walk the difference a little bit. I have to like, even I just said, you know, 10 minutes worth of explainer on what a PEMF device is. Amp coil is really not PEMF. It's really a sound generated magnetic field. So if you were to apply that, let's just look at the nuance that amp coil has a tablet that's playing a song and it's translating it's a collection of single note frequencies in a unique order and amplitude and duration that are translated into an electromagnetic pulse through a coil. And even though the tone oscillates from 5 to 10 to 2000, it doesn't stop and start.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just going the whole time. It's just like it beats.
This might be a stupid question, but I don't even remember what the benefits of, like, you know how people go like and all that. I can't believe I just said that on the podcast. What humming. Is that? Anything? Yeah, humming. Like that could be good. I mean, that's just good for your like vagus nerve stimulation. Yeah. Isn't that kind of what that is? So it's not like necessarily the same thing, but.
Well, it's frequency therapy. Sure. I mean, and you can listen. I used to donate my Mondays to a group called Sing for Your Seniors. We would go to senior centers where people were living in there and we would bring a bunch of Broadway singers. We'd sing for an hour.
That's awesome.
And even in an area of the assisted care center that was like bedridden patients, they would be like getting up and like raising their arms and like moving. And because music reaches a different part of the brain than speech does. You know, there's something in the human body that loves song, that loves music. So it's a therapy, you know, and it is medicine. There's sound medicine is 10,000 years old or different tones.
They have sound baths too with the bowls. It's the same concept. The frequency change.
Well, there's down my, like from my crown all the way down to my pelvic floor, there's nerve bundles throughout the body, which align with chakra centers that are each purported to open with a certain tune. We have a throat chakra. I forgot what note my throat is, but we can measure biological change by working with the chakra centers, whether it's a sound bowl or it's an amp coil or it's a tuning fork. There's some really great work of Eileen McCusick, who does biofield tuning. She's more or less mapped the body and the different where the body stores trauma and information around in the bioenergetic field or the biofield of the body, and can teach that to other people and teach other people to get the same results with tuning forks. And there's great, again, we can go to PubMed, we can go to NIH, we can look at different studies that will look at playing 542 hertz versus 440. And we can measure different levels of oxytocin release from our neurotransmitters, because 542 releases more happy juice.
That's fascinating. I mean, but it makes sense. You also mentioned before about how the earth is a magnet and how there's a physical property of like the earth's frequency and what the earth is, you know, and I've read on grounding, actual grounding, how it's so important to put your feet in grass and just on the earth, because you're actually just getting that force. And you can even like buy a grounding mat. So I bought one and you could just put your feet on it and you could connect it into the wall. It's the same frequency as the earth. And so, I just think that's kind of interesting. I'm sure you have more information on that.
I mean, you have an exchange through the bottom of your feet and being on dirt that is much like, so you're exchanging these ions. And the longer your bare feet are on the ground, the more the, like, it's almost like if you had a straw and it was filled with BBs, you know, if I push one in here, I get one dropping out of here. So it takes a while for the ions to get up to your stomach or your heart or your throat chakra or your head. So you want to be outside a lot, really, like as much as you can.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, pandemic has like made this a challenge for me. And then entrepreneurship makes it another challenge, but I'll often be, you know, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on a computer or on a phone or writing, or, you know, I find long chunks of time where I'm not outside, I'm not grounded. So you have to, you know, in my experience, hack around that.
Yeah.
Grounding sheet or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. Austin's pretty nice though. You have some really nice areas. You can go outside and there's a river over there. It's a nice area. It's nice.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I have no excuse. I mean, it got cold. It got like 40 degrees the other day, which is like the first time it's been 40 since I've been here in a year and a half.
Texas winters are weird though.
It's weird.
Like, it just, you really don't know what to plan for.
Yeah, it's honestly pretty weird. It's true.
Yeah. At least in New York and Washington, we like can just expect it to be gross.
I know.
Gross and gray.
Oh, man.
That is true.
Yeah. But I think being in a place like Austin, like I've been there a few times, and I feel like people who want to live in Austin tend to be like, there's a certain type of person that's like drawn to that type of place. But I think just being around that kind of energy can be good as well. Just being around other people that are sort of like-minded.
Yeah, there is never a shortage of people that are interested in elevating their consciousness and being healthy and eating clean and being outdoors and doing, you know, ecstatic dance or plant medicine, all the things, you know, whatever, you know, you can go way too far with that too, in my experience, but it's great. There's always something fun to do. And, you know, you just have to break the habit of being yourself, which is can be, you know, it's hard. That's like the human experience. So how do I get out of my own way?
It's a great book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I read it too. It's good. Mm-hmm. More about your experience. What would you say? I know you did a lot of things like to get yourself to get to where you are today. What would you say was one of the most instrumental things that you've done that helped you change, I guess, your level of consciousness and change how you're viewing everything that you were going through?
Yeah. I mean, I had a huge pivot with AmpCoil. You know, like I said, I was kept getting surgeries. I was still having small bowel obstructions. I had a really, I mean, since I started to use that coil regularly, I really, knock on wood, I haven't been back to the emergency room. Now I've had scares, but I mean, that was big. Just not having that happen like all the time, every 6 weeks alone. I mean, it's like given my body enough of a window, I think, to really gain some ground. The other thing that was really good for my belly is red light. Mm. You have a red light wrap that now I have a wrap that works great. I have panels too, but I have a wrap that I'll wrap at my belly right where I had like all these surgeries. And it just changes the texture of the tissue. You know, red light, especially if it's right wavelength, it's like 660 to like 930 hertz. I'm ballparking that.
Yeah.
And that's just a wavelength of red light which penetrates all the way into the cells. And it helps, again, release nitric oxide, creates lymph genesis. So it's actually creating new lymphatic pathways. It's upregulating mitochondria. It's changing the elasticity of collagen. So that for me, that's like those two for with scar tissue, like PEMF and red light, you know, they were a huge, huge turning point for me. There's nuance in there too. There's a high powered machine I have. It's called MagnaWave, which I, you know, in the last 3 years, I've started using that one, the last 2 years. And then there's been things along the way that have been really like, I think consistency is king.
Yeah.
You know, I continue to like make time to process like when I've had an improvement. So for me, that's like meditating. It's like journaling. It might be affirming it on a podcast. I was just talking about this with somebody. I know there's people think you've like, oh, I don't have time to meditate 2 hours a day. That's never been me. It's like short and getting it done with consistency is way better for me than 2 hours. It's like, if I can kind of like embody the meditative practice. So just to give you an example, like I'm constantly affirming how good I'm doing based on what my rear view mirror shows me.
Yeah.
And reminding myself, I'm like, you're doing fucking great. And like, I'll say that all the time. And I'm always celebrating, even if it's an internal celebration, just being of how functional I am and how like the great, great quality of life I have after, you know, you could argue that it could be easy for me to be like, look at all the things that I lost, you know, body parts alone.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, so you had a bunch of lymph nodes removed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So did you have any issues with lymphedema?
Not really. All? I get a little like swelling around my ankles. Now, I got to be honest, I've never really studied the lymphatic system. I mean, I know it. I do lymph brushing. You know, I've listened to webinars, but I'm not an expert on it. And lately, I've been called in to really learn the lymphatic system.
Yeah, it's freaking important.
It's important. And nobody really talks about it.
I don't think
it's, yeah. I don't think it's sexy for people. They're like, oh, the lymph, whatever. And I'm like, well, there's more lymphatic fluid than there is blood.
So, yeah.
And it's like drains. I mean, it's like the way that we get rid of things, honestly. So, yeah.
And I was just exploring yesterday, like, there's like gates for your lymph to flow.
It's like veins.
And and it's like a canal system. And if you don't open that gate, through physical movement, and then you can have blocks, right? We can have strictures or blocks, or like if our fascia is really bound down, we can have all these limitations to how the body would off gas. You know, if you had a chronic infection that your immune system is fighting, you might have a lot of you know, dead Lyme spirochetes in your lymphatic tissue, causing just as much problem as the live ones or mold spores or whatever.
Yeah. One of you like have lymph nodes removed, then it's like those little ports that you're supposed to be pushing the lymph towards so that it can actually like get taken care of and get filtered out of your body. It's harder to do. So that's why I was curious, but it sounds like you're doing so many things that people who typically have lymph nodes removed done and you move a lot. So I think that's probably one reason why you don't have a lot of issues maybe, but that's so fascinating.
Yeah.
What is the red light that you use? Just out of curiosity, like what brand do you recommend?
There's a lot. I use this brand called LightPath LED.
Yeah, that's funny. That's what my practitioner in New York uses. She uses Amp Coil and that.
Yeah.
And we'll link it to.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a discount on there somewhere. Great.
I'll grab it and I'll put
on both of those. Yeah, it's on beautifullybroken.world. There's a store up there now that's new. I just launched that new site, which it's the Beautifully Broken podcast. But the light, it's one of the longest warranties in that container. It's a really high quality beam angle, i.e. you can get a cheap bulb, which a lot of the lights are just cheaply made. They're all made in the same area, but a lot of them broadcast wide into the room. So they fill the room. And this one is like a 30 degree, it's called a 30 degree beam angle. It's one of the higher end bulbs. And then the bulbs each have like 5 chips in them. So they can each carry 5 different wavelengths, every bulb. There's some new ones coming out. And the guy who had invented this, or let me say this, he looked at what was out there and he's like, I want to make a better mousetrap. He's always improving it. So he's a really good guy. Yeah. That's just the one I've trended with.
Yeah. The only one that I've heard of is Juve. But I don't have any experience with, and Beamer has one that is like they have with their machine. My mom actually works for Beamer and it literally changed her life, and it's changed a ton of people that she works with live. So I'm sure a lot of these devices, it's like no one is the only person to have a good idea. So it's kind of like they probably have like slight changes on their patents, and then they're all, well, maybe not all of them, but many of them are probably like super useful for people and just have slight nuances, you know? So
you got to meet everybody where they're at, you know? Yeah. And so everybody will have a different need and a different delivery method that I think suits, whether it's their bank account or their terrain. And I think, you know, it's so important. I think for alternative, I don't want to say even alternative because it's really not, it's really just like complementary medicine or complementary wellness technology. It's just important to remember that it's so good to not recreate like the limitations of like the pharmaceutical industry. So they're like, you know, pull the marketing out, like, you know, talk about each technology in the highest vibe as you possibly can. And just like, you know, the person's going to have to like go see, feel, experience like what resonated with your body. And I think that'll make everything go forward. Cause not, this is like 0.001% that use these type of thing. Nobody knows what a Beamer is. Nobody knows what a Juve light is. Like, you know, LightPath LED, what they just Amp Coil, you know, people are like, what's an Amp Coil? I'm like, well, you know, and so it's like, you start with PMF and then you go to sound generated magnetic field and then you go to frequency therapy. And then they're like, sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
And so you got to get someone an experience with it. That's the only thing. It's like, you got to go try it for a couple months and to see how you feel.
Yeah. That's, I think also taking care of like the other big rocks as well. Like if you literally like don't put any priorities in like sleep hygiene, I mean, some people literally it's difficult for them to sleep because they're so unhealthy, but like some people will also like make choices that are not great for their sleep hygiene, for example. Like you're not going to accomplish anything with any biohacking, in my opinion, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. It's powerful. I heard this guy this morning. I was listening to a podcast on molecular hydrogen and Brown's gas, which I'm studying right now, just the power of hydrogen, which is fascinating, and a new biohack I'm experimenting with and getting my N=1 on. And he's like, having done both extremes of like an extreme vegetarian and a carnivore diet, he's like, you know, there's highs and lows of each. And he's like, I don't think there's any modality that will help you out of living in a life where you just don't feel like you're in alignment. Like if you hate your job, or if you have a dream of starting a business selling art, he's like, I think that's the best medicine you could ever do. Yeah. And I just, that resonated with me so strong. Like if you're not happy, if you're waiting to go, you know, start your reselling of like famous football cards, or you want to go, you know, there's limitations to these things, right? We have to, you know, there's a hobby and then there's your career. And not everybody, unfortunately, can go live their hobby because we still, you know, we're a capitalist society. We're built on consumerism. So it's like going to take time, but you have to have some degree of that engineered in your life or it's, you're going to get sick. Yes, I never view, I'm like, I always say it's all a miracle or none of it is. Like, it's either that like God hates you and he's smiting you, you know, with this terrible narcissistic boyfriend, or you called this in because you were ready to like either this generation or last, you're ready to learn this lesson.
Right.
And I choose to look at it as like, what can I pull? Like, how can I improve? What's the value add here? How can I use this to grow, you know, better, stronger? I'm like, cause it, I spent such a long time with adversity. I was like, wow, you know, you could keep, and I've watched people do this alongside me, you know, go through treatment and just get more and more and more angry because they saw all the things that were being taken away. But again, in my lived experience, like life is generally like, it's painful that we're never going to save anybody else or ourselves from like loss and suffering. But it's like, how are you going to navigate that? And I think you can experience like some pretty amazing highs, you know, in that, with that tool. That's just what I've come up with just to not drive myself off.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really affect what's going to happen to you. So you might as well affect
not at all.
You respond to it.
Yeah. 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 There's this great Viktor Frankl quote. Have you read Man's,
Man's
Quest for Meaning or Man's Search for Meaning? I always
I need to read that book.
Title.
Especially because of my heritage. I'm Jewish. I really have to read that book.
Yeah, you do. It's good. It's very short.
I know. I have it.
It's like a little book. And it's widening the gap between stimulus and response. And there is your like ultimate power. And
quote.
He just, Viktor, who was in the concentration camp, refused to let the Nazi regime take his joy. And it's so powerful. You're like, oh my God, if this guy can do it, how can I not do it? Like working at this big box store when I have like a boss that I just hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting, you know, everything you're talking about is like back to the frequencies. Like the frequency of being happy is a different frequency of being angry at your life. So just how are you going to manage those? Because you're going to have dips and that's health.
So. Right. How are you managing that ride? And how are you, you know, but we also, I think it's both. I think it's always both. And I have a physical body that's governed by the electrical, then the chemical, right? And so I could argue that above that is a spiritual or etherical body, right? That comes down kind of like a trickle down effect.
Yeah.
So how am I going to optimize that to work with like this physical body? I'm on the planet for 100 years. How am I going to make it a more enjoyable, purpose-filled experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I love where your head's at. And I love what you're doing for people by like talking about this. And I love your podcast. And it's, you're doing such great stuff for everybody. So.
I'm figuring it out. I just said this to my assistant this morning. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm traveling all over the world. I'm speaking. I'm advocating for things that I love that have helped me, creating a show and talking to people that are in alignment with that mission. And then, you know, I'm physically my day to day as I'm running, working as either a consultant or I'm running sales for some of these companies. And it's a very full plate, but I still feel like there's this evolutionary process of, you know, what is like, and I just got to sit down and this morning, it's so funny. I wrote an SOP for what it takes to launch a weekly podcast just so I can ask for help. I was like, I don't even know where to ask for help. I mean, I have help. I have like sound engineers. I have like, you know, I have an editor. I have a video editor. I got like somebody doing, but they're all separate. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm paying people to do right now, but I know that it's like bursting at the seams and I got to go figure it out. So I wrote out an SOP. Right. I'm like, okay, like record podcast, post in Simplecast, you know, post to the homepage, the episode page. And I just kind of, you know, laid it out. And it was really helpful to see like what it looked like to put out a weekly podcast. So with that, it's like, you know, write out an SOP for like what you want to do
for your life.
You know, is it, well, is it, you know, like for your brand or, you know, your work with bodies? Like, what is it? Do I want a system? Do I want a training? Do I want to give master classes? Do I want to work with one-on-ones? Do I want to teach other people how to do what I do? But we often don't take that time to like write out the dream. So how can the dream ever materialize?
Right. You have to have it on paper to know where you're going. I agree.
All of it. Yeah. That's fun too. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to write down where I want to be in a year. Whoever does that.
Smart people.
Yeah.
People with big ideas and big thoughts. I think that's who does that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think sometimes people are afraid to like say that they want something because they're not sure that they can get it.
I agree.
Yeah. It's scary. But
if you can't like think it first, there's no way it's going to physically become. So.
Right.
Got to start there.
I have a few more questions for you. One,
please.
I saw that you, when we talked about this, you did that retreat with Jess MD. That's her name on Instagram. Jess, uh-huh. Dr. Jess Petros, I think.
Dr. Jess Petros, yep.
She's brilliant. I absolutely love her stuff. I think everybody loves her stuff. She's unbelievable. And I saw you did like injections into your scar. So I wanted you to touch a little bit on that.
Right. We did neural therapy, which was a syringe with a really long light gauge needle, I want to say 24 gauge, and in the syringe was procaine, and I think it was Tramiel, which is a homeopathic. There was another lymphatic homeopathic, which is a very diluted substance of maybe minerals or different substances that would stimulate healing in the body. And they literally like went from belly to pelvis and just, you know, weaved all in and out the fibrous tissues of the scar. And when they were done, the scar was like bright red, like red as night. And it's gone through there a couple times. So it's really crunchy. And immediately, like my hands were both hot on each side of my body. Like the meridian channel wasn't blocked on my midsine. So my hands and feet like started sweating.
Wow.
Like there was so much heat exchanging, like, you know, the energetic meridian line there. And I felt so, so high. Like I took ecstasy. I was like, I got to step out of the room.
Wow.
And I just had to go walk in the sand and ground because there was so much energy moving through my body by dealing with that scar. It was incredible. So I want to go do it again. They told me I should do it like 10 times. So I'm going to look up a therapist here, but she gave me the resource. Kelly Kennedy is somebody who really has a deep understanding of scar tissue. She said she has a great network. And it's something I want to explore more. Everybody was doing scars at this retreat. There were people with C-section scars, and there was a guy who'd had his lymph node removed from having throat cancer. And there was a woman who was in a halo at one time that had like her whole neckline. Everybody felt great. A girl had had her whole spine fused through scoliosis.
Wow.
And so they had done the whole thing, and she was like, oh my, she was like, everybody kind of felt the same way. They just felt very high.
Yeah, I connected with a practitioner in New York just to chat with her more about it. So we might do more podcasts on that too. But yeah, it's fascinating because ultimately a scar like that, that level where it's a huge scar, I mean, all scars, but something like mm-hmm. that, it's an interference for your body. Your brain knows it's there. Your brain doesn't forget that. So
mm-hmm.
when I saw that, so you posted it, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Something that people need to talk about more because we're so quick to cut in today's day and age. And I think we have to be a little more careful with how we cut because we don't really know the long-term effects or maybe
and also
studied.
And also like pairing you up, like having an awareness that helps and pairing you up with a therapist that could facilitate real healing of that scar. We talked a lot about that the body will patch, but it won't really heal.
Right. Oh, that's,
you know, because if you're deficient in energy, is the body's going to like, the quality of that scar tissue healing is not always great. We got to work with it. It needs to be to continue to scar, even rolling the scar or to work with that tissue and get a better tactile response. That takes time, but you'll get better performance in the body after that. So I just think it's important. Yeah. It's like every surgery I've ever had, they were like, you didn't die. Like, see you later. There was no like wound care or scar care other than taking the bandages off. Like they are not invested on functionality. And it's so funny when I look at your Instagram channel, I always think that like, I was like, oh my God, I want to work with someone to like understand regaining mobility because of cutting this so many times. My hips are so tight and my, just like when I get up off a chair, I usually like use my hands to like stand up. You know, there's just like, I've sat down funny for so long that it's just a funky movement pattern, even though I'm like, I think there's been a lot of workarounds, but
yeah,
energy efficiency, like it's something I want to correct. And I've done some really good movement assessments with like a Czech specialist.
We'll do it one day. I know we will.
Yeah. But yeah, I want to call
your brain doesn't forget those things that occur to you.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah.
You know, there's that book, at What the Body Keeps the Score. It's so true. Mm-hmm. But we'll do it for sure.
Yeah.
We have two more questions for you. First off,
great.
Megan can do the honors.
Oh, thank you. What is something that you do every day, or at least most days, to move your brain, move your body, or both?
Well, I usually start my day and I get up and I start my really, really clean black coffee on the stove. And then I will walk out and get in a barrel of water that is at 38 degrees. And I'll sit in that for 3 minutes and I'll just do breath work. And that really, I can go nowhere but the breath. You can't panic. I can scream for a second, but at the end of the day, you just got to breathe. And that's a really challenging way to start the day. But from there, everything else gets easier and it's all a bonus. And then usually I'll move to that to a vibration plate, and I'll stand on the vibration plate with my black coffee in front of like 4 big red light panels. And I'll just charge up my cells with red light, which in the summer sun in Austin, Texas it's protecting to all my cells from any type of sun damage, yeah. But it also is like really adding energy to the system. So I'm kind of really fired up after that. And then lately I've been really relishing in the fact of like moving something so heavy that I have to let out like an awful grunt, mm-hmm. at least like 1 or 2 reps where it's just like, rah.
That's awesome.
And just feeling so good about, like, I just feel, I'm like, wow. Like today I went and I was like, I'm just going to go do mobility. But I was like, well, let me do one set of like wide grip pull-ups to burnout. And just till you're like, just struggling on that last one. And your nervous system just like, it's just, you're so high after it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like exercise. I keep saying this too, that a lot of times your bias is your blind spot. So I have access to all this tech and all these wonderful things and supplements and, you know, direct neural stimulation, you name it. It's like in the house, yeah. But you forget exercise, and it's like, oh, exercise. It's like the scientifically validated return on investment period of all things ever will be. Nothing touches it,
yeah.
From a longevity hack, and people like, in the wellness container, they're like kind of looking for like this next level science, like go lose some visceral belly fat, go like add 10 pounds of muscle and like shut up and yeah. Then come back and tell me about supplements.
Exactly.
Just like exercise is like, so that's for me, it's like, that's the big one. And it hasn't always been that way. Sometimes I was in a lot of pain, or I had to worry about, I would do like the wrong exercise and I would twist my intestine, my scar tissue. So mm-hmm. I'm careful of that too. So but I've been good so far.
Ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then last question for you. That was a very good answer. We like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Where can people find you? I'm going to link all the stuff we talked about in this episode, of course.
Yeah.
As well as your podcast.
Yeah. It is everything exists on beautifullybroken.world.
Perfect.
And that is like the podcast. That's like all the things that I absolutely love. My Instagram is FreddySetGo. And those are the 2 spots. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
This was so great. This was awesome.
Thank you.
We love having you.
Oh my God. It's a pleasure to be here. I hope we're going to do more.
Yeah. 100%. We can dive deep.
Anytime.
We'll ask you about who you are.
I know. I can give a tip. I'll have to go back and listen to the previous answer.
This was so great. Thank you.
Thanks, Freddie.
Amazing.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Join in every week as we release new episodes.
Subscribe or leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts. If you have questions or topics to cover, please email moveyourbb@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @moveyourbb.